Well, welcome everybody to our Mother's Day service. Before I begin, I'd like to advise you that today you might find some of the content and images upsetting, distressing, or triggering. It's okay if you need to excuse yourself at any point. And I'd also like to make you aware that Linwood is just over in our Start Here section. If you need some consolation, some support, prayer, or just a tissue. So that is being made available to you. Have you ever played that mobile app game called Four Pictures, One Word? I enjoyed that one for a while. I actually have something similar that I'd like us to play today. I'm going to show you three images and how many letters make up the word that connects the pictures. Let's start with an easy one. And if you know the answer, just call it out. What three-letter word connects these pictures? Mum. Who said mum? Oh, Sophie, nice job. I'm a terrible thrower, sorry about that. I've got one that's a little bit harder now. Who knows the answer? What was it? Discipline? No. No, not discipline. Disappoint? No. It begins with an M. Motherhood. Motherhood. Oh, who is the bright spark over here? Brilliant. Oh, I've done another terrible throw. You know how sometimes people will do like as an icebreaker, like what's that thing that you're amazing at? The thing I'm terrible at is throwing. I am the like quintessential lady thrower. And you have now seen that. So there's my embarrassing story. The amazing thing is all these pictures are pictures of motherhood. The latter is actually what I would describe as the more messy, the ugly and often painful moments of motherhood. What's Mother's Day like in your home? Do you wake up and potentially hear the sound of clanging bowls and spoons and the smell of burnt toast as kids make you brekkie in bed with soggy cereal? Or perhaps there's a bouquet of flowers sitting on your table, a box of chocolates that the kids are eager for you to open and share with them, a planned lunch where you have family over or you go out and visit. Or if you're very, very lucky, maybe a quiet afternoon snuggled up with a book. Sounds pretty good to me. Or perhaps today looks very different to that. Maybe today is the kind of day you'd like erased from the calendar. It's the day of closing doors, drawing curtains, and you spend time with a box of Kleenex tissues. When I open up social media, I'm usually bombarded with these images of love hearts and flowers and fancy handwriting saying Happy Mother's Day. And then as I scroll down, I might eventually find that image that says thinking of you, and it describes the different griefs that many of us might feel on Mother's Day. It's a mixed bag, but the day tends to call for celebration rather than mourning. So what are we to do then with our grief if it's that sort of day? Now, lament is a formative practice within Christianity, yet it's something that we have a fairly uncomfortable relationship with as the Western Church. Like the images that we've seen in our game, you might not want to connect lament with doing Christianity. Yet lament actually serves a very important function to help capture, process, and filter what's overwhelming, heartbreaking, and confusing. Simply put, lament is crying out to God about the brokenness and fallenness and the hard things in life while holding on and trusting God. If it were a painting in the Louvre, I would imagine it would capture the depth of pain and distress of a person kind of pummeling on God's chest. Yet at the same time, I imagine it would capture the way in which the grief feels lighter with each fist and it gives way to embrace. Sort of a little bit like this picture. The wailing is real, but we're also holding on to someone trustworthy. Still, lament is not something we tend to give a lot of attention to, and it's not something we're necessarily familiar with. If we're honest, the practice of lament can cause distress and discomfort to the point we'd rather ignore it or avoid it. But lament is an integral part of our faith heritage and our tradition, and it's something that our Bibles actually give great weight to. Nearly half the book of Psalms, which are our songs of worship, are songs of lament. Then there's the suffering of Job, the suffering servant in Isaiah, and of course, the book of Lamentations, just to name a few. And it's not like lament is just included in the Bible like that estranged, distant cousin at your wedding because that's what makes the family happy. No, lament is core to working out our faith, particularly in times of distress, displacement, and upheaval. During the time of exile in Babylon, the Israelites lost everything. They watched their mothers and fathers get murdered. They were dragged away from the land that God had promised them. They saw the temple of God's presence burning before their eyes. And even though they understood it was their idolatry that had caused this to happen, they wondered, will God be with us anymore? Has he deserted us? And what does his faithfulness look like? Listen to the pain that's expressed in Psalm 137. They sing, "Beside the river of Babylon, we sat and wept as we thought of Jerusalem. We put away our harps, hanging them on the branches of poplar trees, for our captors demanded a song from us. Our tormentors insisted on a joyful hymn. Sing us one of those songs of Jerusalem." But how can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a pagan land? This psalm describes the deep anguish felt by the Israelites during their exile in Babylon. They weep over the loss of their homeland. Their faith was tied to place, to the land, to the temple. But now displaced, unable to ever return, they feel like there's nothing to sing about and no hope. So they throw away their instruments of praise. And in that lowest moment, they're kicked in the guts as the Babylonians jeer and mock and torment their souls, asking for celebratory songs like salt in a fresh wound. Their pain climaxes in the deep question that's being asked: how can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a pagan land? This is the power of lament, that it surfaces in our deepest questions that are born out of painful experiences and then places them on the altar before God. As Mark Vrogop, who is the author of Deep Clouds, Deep Mercy, says, "Grief-filled prayers of pain while seeking God are amongst the deepest expressions of worship. Through personal lament, we open ourselves to God's grace and his ability to shape and change us. Lament can lead to grace. Now, while we might not experience what the Israelites went through, we're not exiled. Any given day can be a mixed bag. Today is Mother's Day, and while it's considered a day of celebration, let us be mindful of the deep communal lament that's present in our midst. There are those who desire to be mothers who aren't, those who have buried their children. There are those who are worried about the future of their kids. There are those who feel like failures as a mother. There are those who are doing it alone, and those who have been subject to domestic violence. There are those who mourn broken relationships, either with their mother or their kids, and more. If we look more broadly, this is what we can expect to encounter in our neighbourhood and in our nation. It's estimated that 1 in 6 Australian couples of reproductive age experience fertility challenges. And more than 1 in 10 women experience secondary infertility. Of those who do fall pregnant, 1 in 4 experience miscarriage. 1 in 4. And for those who do have children, for those who make it through what can be a harrowing experience or difficult, it's not over yet. There's concerns for their kids' well-being and mental health. Did you know that suicide is the leading cause of death in young people in Australia? Records from 2022 show there's actually been a threefold increase in hospitalisations of young people from intentional self-harm in the last decade. And what's most alarming is the greatest increase is in girls aged 14 and under. These are more than statistics. These are lived experiences. They are real life stories. They're what we carry in our church, what we carry in our schools, in our shopping centres, in our neighbourhoods. These are the people that you meet with every day. So, what does it look like for us to bear grief together and lament communally? In 2022, Peter and I sent out a message to family and friends celebrating the due arrival of our second child. We'd reached that 12-week milestone, you know, the point where it's safe. And we were overjoyed because we'd been wanting and waiting a second child for over 5 years. The day after sending that message, I had a fall. And I woke up after blacking out on our bathroom tiles. We went to the emergency wing at the hospital, and after receiving several tests, the doctors said, "Everything's fine, you can go home." And I said, "Look, just for peace of mind, I'd really like to just have a scan and see how this fall might have affected our unborn child." During the scan, it was noted that the fetus was the right size for 10 weeks old, not 12. So we checked for a heartbeat. There was none. We broke as a family. We grieved. We still grieve. We wept. We still weep. We prayed. We still pray. We held each other in the space. We went to church. We didn't miss a Sunday. And we shared with our church in tears We cried together. We rolled out the carpet of grace. For our church family, it was the grace of less responsibilities and tasks paired with a desire to be present in our pain. They just gave us room. And for us, it was the grace of being unoffendable and allowing people to show comfort in their own way and in their own time. A particularly special moment was when a friend of mine visited. She brought a gift and she simply said, "I don't know if this is helpful or if it's even wanted." And she went on to describe how she had chosen something to help me be reminded of the hope that we shared, her and I, for our family. The gift was a small figurine labelled a prayer. And when I look at it, it points me to share with Jesus my gratitude for what our family is, my hope for what it could be, and my peace about what might never be. The psalmist in Psalm 126, verses 5 to 6, writes this: "Those who sow with tears will reap songs with joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seeds to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them." It's a psalm that's at the other end of the Israelites' exile, and it speaks of their return to Jerusalem. Yet something transformative has occurred here. From the place where they hung their harps, they now return with songs of joy in hand. The psalmist speaks of the way lament has actually given them something to carry home. They don't return the same as they left. There's been a deep internal shift for the better. And underneath what is being said is that God works here and that he's answered their deep question. They have found a way to sing the songs of the Lord while in a pagan land. Coming out the other side, the psalmist testifies that our tears are useful and that we shouldn't waste them. So what does it look like to lament together? How do we put our tears to use? I want to suggest two things. The first thing that I want to suggest is that we are grace sowers. When my friend visited, she showed so much grace. She didn't come to pull me out of a funk or cheer me up so I could move on with my life. She didn't try to manage or minimize the pain, nor did she avoid it and ignore it. She held the space and even normalized the experience as she asked questions, listened, and shared her own experiences of miscarriage. It helped me to voice the suffering rather than suffer in silence. Lament calls for grace. It's sowing grace when we let prayers be messy and endorse expression and vocalization of loss. It's sowing grace when we let deep, provoking questions sit openly without the need to jump in and give neat answers. It's sowing grace when we sit comfortably with pain and sorrow and don't hurry others through the process. It's sowing grace when we let down our guard and let others see us. And it's sowing grace when we hold each other's pain with a gentle hand. Secondly, I want to suggest that we are faith growers. I'm going to ask the band to come up at this point. My friend also did something else. She didn't try to rid me of my pain, but she did bring Jesus into it. Lament invites the people of God on a journey as we turn to God, lay out our complaints, ask for his help, and choose to trust. Lament is not separated from faith. It's a part of walking by faith. It's faith growing when we encourage each other to engage in faith in the midst of suffering. It's faith growing when we lay down our deep questions on the altar. It's faith growing when we show up to church, even when it's hard. It's faith growing when we pray, even though it hurts. It's faith growing when we serve, even though we feel numb. It's faith growing when we open up to God and one another, even when it's scary. Earlier I said that if lament were a painting hanging in the Louvre, it would capture this moment where somebody was in deep anguish and grief and they're pummeling on God's chest. And yet at the same time, it captures that moment where they're letting it go. That place of trust and rest, and it just lifts off. And though I can see my face in that moment of pummeling, I love the way that Hebrews 4 paints the person whose chest I pummel on. It says this of the figure of Christ Jesus. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but in whom every respect has been tempted as we are and has not sinned. So let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The one on whose chest we pummel is not a perfect model. It is one who bears a crown of scars and one well acquainted with pain. And that is why he is safe. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are well acquainted with its suffering. Pain is no stranger to you. For our sake, you gave your life. You were broken for us. You bled for us. You can be trusted with our pain, with our grief, and with our lament. You roll out the carpet of grace and invite us to approach your throne. Help us in times of suffering and heartache to draw near and hold fast to you. Amen.